life and the world. Your editor, Frank Blair.
Good evening. Tonight, Christmas toys and Aggressor Sally. In our continuing coverage of the theme of Americans abroad, we turn tonight to our soldiers in Berlin as they get a lesson in counter-propaganda. During World War II, the enemy made great strides in psychological warfare, employing the dulcet tones of such ill-remembered figures as Axis Sally and Tokyo Rose. The siren songs of these persuasive ladies were designed to spread disunity and dissatisfaction in the hearts and minds of our fighting men. To apply a counteractive against such a maneuver in any future war, our men now are being provided with an indoctrination which would make them impervious to such assaults. In Berlin, John Rich is present in a regimental warfare class.
We're here now at McNair Barracks in Berlin, and Lieutenant Elma Jones of Stockton, California, is about to give the class instruction in psychological warfare, or the introduction to psychological warfare. The class, before coming here, received a mock psychological warfare leaflet. They're in the classroom now, they're seated, and the room has been darkened. Lieutenant Jones is just about to speak.
3 days ago, aggressor columns attacked our forces. Simultaneously, artillery began falling on Allied troop concentrations. You have moved to defensive positions, which you now occupy. Strong attacks have been made against the Allied lines and heavy fighting causing numerous casualties. Some of the men sitting in this room have been killed and others wounded. As you sit in your holes, a chilling rain is falling steadily, accompanied by continuous shelling. Suddenly, the shelling stops. For a few minutes, deathly silence falls over the battlefield, broken only by the hiss of rain. You steel yourself with a blast of a bugle and another attack. Instead, from an unseen speaker in front of you, or from a radio if you're in year one, soft music floats through the night air, and you hear...
Soldiers of the American Army, my name's Annie, and I'd like to talk to you tonight for a while and play some music for you. The music is the latest popular tunes of America, and the news for you is the news you like best, news from home. I'm sure that you married men lying cold and alone out there on the lines, miss and need your families as never before, and they need you too. Women, you know, detest this nasty business of war more than even you. Folks like your wife, Sergeant Gallagher of A Company, you know, she would feel a lot better if she knew that you were safe. Life was pleasant, wasn't it, before the Wall Street bankers and politicians started this terrible, useless war? Well, life will be pleasant again one day if you live to come home. Home to sit with your families in the evenings and listen to good music, or for you young bachelors to go out with your best girl and dance to the music you like. Music like this record by Tony Martin. Here's Tony singing the song your wives and girls are singing. I hope. Oh, how I miss you tonight.
Miss Lynn Brown portraying Aggressor Sally, a mythical and possibly potential distraction to our soldiers in any future conflict. In just 60 seconds, the reaction of the men of this class in counter-propaganda, but first, hear this.
This is Dinah Shore. There's an important sale going on all over America this holiday season. It's the annual Christmas seal sale in the fight against our country's number one infectious killer, tuberculosis. There's no price tag, of course, on human life. To save a life at any price is cheap enough. And that's why Christmas seals are one of the best bargains we can buy. Progress in the fight against tuberculosis since the first Christmas seal was sold has meant a saving of more than 7 million lives. Everyone can be proud of having a part in this life-saving effort. Won't you join me and millions of other Americans in buying and using Christmas seals to make all of us safer from TB? Answer your Christmas seal letter today. Thank you.
Back to the regimental warfare class in Berlin, where John Rich seeks the reaction of men of the 1st Battalion to Aggressor Sally.
Sergeant, what's your name and hometown?
Sergeant Bell, Swainsboro, Georgia.
Sergeant, what was your reaction while you were listening to the taped broadcast?
I've heard it before in career, and it sounded just like before.
Did they have any effect on the boys?
No, sir. At that time, I don't think it did because most people was receiving mail regularly. We was getting plenty of chow. Morale was pretty high.
But in a tough situation, don't you think this could have a bad effect on the morale of the troops?
Yes, sir, I do.
Here's another sergeant, Sergeant Smith. Where are you from, Sergeant?
Richmond, Kentucky.
And have you ever heard anything like this in combat before?
Yes, in Korea there was quite a lot of stuff going on like that, enemy propaganda, which in some cases, or in most cases, I don't think was too effective against the American soldiers for this reason. I believe that the American soldier is well enough trained and has enough get up and go about him to overcome most of this propaganda that they put out.
Mm-hmm. A couple of more soldiers here from the class. What was the reaction of you two fellows when you're sitting here in the dark listening to that broadcast? What were you thinking about?
I was glad that I was in the theater, not somewhere else.
I think I agree with that, sir.
What sort of a gal did you think was behind that voice while you were sitting there? What did you imagine?
Something similar to your girls back home. It made you think.
From Americans Abroad to Phoenix, Arizona, and a subject close to the hearts of all at this happy season, Christmas toys, in just a moment on Life in the World.
Right now, the World Health Organization of the United Nations is working to conquer dozens of dread diseases, many of them found right here in the United States. If this United Nations work continues at its present pace, the coming generations may never know many of the diseases we now fear most. The United Nations works in many other ways, too. For example, the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization teaches people in underdeveloped areas how to produce the essentials of life for themselves. They learn to stand on their own 2 feet, to need less help from outside. Most important of all, this United Nations work is our best hope for peace, because well-fed, well-clothed people do not nurture the discontent and hatreds that can lead to war. The UN works toward permanent peace. For the booklet, The UN in Action, write to U.S. Committee for the UN, Box 1957, Washington 13, D.C.
Even our men in far-off Berlin think of toys at this happy season of the year. In Phoenix, Arizona, our Life in the World correspondent, John Harrington, recalls a happy vignette while looking at a display of today's bright toys and mechanical marvels.
There's a long gap between the 1920s and the 1957s, but Santa Claus has made that transition, even if we have been left behind in the snow dust of his sleigh and fast-stepping reindeer. We're standing here on the sidewalk in front of Diamonds in Phoenix, and here we're enjoying the dubious pleasure of being on the outside looking in. We're looking through the window, the huge plate glass window that reveals all of the joys, the O's and the ah's of Kris Kringle's Toyland, and Santa Claus himself as he leads all of the animals of the forest in this song of Christmas time. You can hear them in the background, and even old St. Nick, as his deep-throated ho-ho-ho causes his tummy to dance like that bowl of jelly. But we've said there's been many a Christmas stocking since the 1920s. When we climbed up on Santa's knee back in those days, we bashfully asked for some candy and nuts, an orange, an apple, and would it be possible, please, that he might bring us a train or a gun? Well, the gun was the kind that you cocked over your knee and the spring shot out a piece of cork. The train was the kind that ran around on a 3-foot track after it had been wound up. Well, within 2 days after Christmas, both of the springs on the train and the gun were broken, and that was the end of the presents from Santa until the following year. But in this year of 1957, what progress has been made at the North Pole. Instead of a gun with a broken spring, I can see a rocket cannon, a cap-firing, air-cooled machine gun, and a completely automatic AK-AK gun as well. And did we think in the terms of outer space? Well, they are now. I can see space platforms, satellite launchers, rockets shot into outer space and tracked by radar, and even hats for the Sputnik watchers. No, in our day, we would have been happy with a few tin soldiers. But now, Santa's Toyland has gone modern with a battery-powered, hard-charging, actually fighting Knight of the Forest, and a Navy boat with a diver which submerges and breathes real bubbles. And back in our day, we played at communications with a piece of string tied between two tin cans. But no, not that now. The modern toy is a set of electronic teletype machines which send out and receive the latest kiddie messages. And what about the scientist of the future? What does St. Nick plan for him? Well, how about a motor-powered, high-flying lightning bug? Yes, while we stand here looking through the window, watching the chipmunks and the tortoise playing their instruments and listening to the chorus of singing bunny rabbits, we realize now that Santa Claus is ready with a 1957 pack of modern miracles. While for us, he will leave a stocking full of memories.
Yes, that's life and the world. For a final word, I'll be back in just a moment.
Once upon a time, in a very large city, there lived a clarinet. One morning, the clarinet woke up feeling very, very low. He was just not himself. The clarinet was very concerned about his irregularity because that night he was making his debut at the concert hall. Suddenly, the clarinet heard a knock at the door. It was his friend, Phil the Flute. When Phil heard of his friend's trouble, he gave him very sound advice.
You really should take X-Lax.
You really should take X-Lax. And that's exactly what the clarinet did. That night at the concert, the clarinet played like never before because he felt just great. The moral of the story is simply this. When you need a laxative,
you can depend on X-Lax.
You can depend on X-Lax.
This is Frank Blair concluding this 104th edition of Life in the World. Tonight we listen to the sounds of Christmas and the joy which a toy can bring to the heart of the young. And from overseas we heard an exercise in counter-propaganda, a grim and comforting reminder that in these troubled times there is an alertness to the unseen and unspoken problems which beset our world and challenge our security. Good night.
Life in the World is developed through the worldwide facilities of Life Magazine and NBC News.
Harry Belafonte, Carl Sandburg, and Kay Thompson and Eloise join Walter O'Keefe on Nightline tonight on most of these NBC stations.